T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes.
So ready.
This is St. Louis's news radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. Ready.
Wow, look at this lineup. This is a show not to be missed. First of all, we have Charlie Brennan in the house. How are you?
I'm just really good. And can I just throw in one quickie? Because yesterday, your birthday, and Mike Shannon's, and everyone else on the living planet. So I go to 20 Minutes to Fitness, and Rachel Baker, one of our trainers, had a baby yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Sullivan Sage Baker.
Another
Sullivan? Sullivan Sage, yeah.
That's a cool name. Sullivan Sage Baker. Welcome to the July 15th club.
Along with everybody else, biggest club in America.
Amy Markscores is here. Your birthday is coming up, right?
It is coming up in about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not quite the July 15th club. I'm like the JV team of the July 15th club.
You're still in there. The July birthdays, that's big time.
Yeah, and how many miles did you run on your birthday yesterday?
Zero.
44? Yeah. Oh, zero. 44, zero. They're similar.
I walked maybe, a mile, maybe. Yeah. Let's bring in Mark Reardon. How are you today?
Well, I almost went back to bed because it was 5 o'clock, but I'm here.
You know, that's so funny. I cannot remember the last time I did that. I said that it was 8:30.
It happens. I do it all the time.
Do you? So. I can't remember.
I don't say 5. I say probably 2:30.
I turned it back 3 hours. It is 8:35 now, and President Trump yesterday defended his remarks about 4 minority lawmakers by alleging that they, quote, hate our country and should leave if they are unhappy, leading the Democratic congresswoman to respond by offering a competing vision of America that they said was based on inclusiveness. Representative Ilhan Omar said, "This is the agenda of white nationalists. This is his plan to pit us against one another." Charlie, your thoughts on day two of this Trump spat?
Well, judging on the emails and the calls, the wine line, a lot of people not too happy with what I said yesterday when I said the president erred. He, first of all, factually, he was wrong. Those women, only one is from abroad. The rest were born in the United States. And I think he successfully united the Democrats. And I still feel that way. And I know that a lot of our listeners think it's just part of his brilliant strategy because he's going to portray these 4 women as the face of the party. But I think he did exactly the wrong thing when there was this internecine warfare within the Democratic Party, and he could have stepped back and just watched it play out. Instead, he jumped in, and now the Democrats are united once again against him.
Yeah, Trump, all he had to do was stay quiet. And I don't think it was part of a grand strategy. I think it was just his impulse in the moment. That's what he wanted to say. And he was wrong to say it. At the same time, I think why people are, I don't want to say defending it or trying to explain what Trump was saying, is that 2 wrongs don't make a right. And I think you've got 2 wrong parties here. You have Trump, who was wrong in what he tweeted. And then you have the squad, who has been aggressively critical of the United States to the point of, I would sometimes label some of their statements as anti-American, certainly anti-Semitic when you get to Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, some of their associations. And so what I'm seeing here is it feels like gaslighting. You have one side, such as Ilhan Omar, saying that Trump's rhetoric is meant to divide and hurt the country, when what the squad themselves are saying is incredibly divisive, and they're claiming an us versus them. And so I think it's just manipulating the narrative. It's 2 wrongs.
Mark?
Well, we have some breaking news. I don't know if you guys saw this. The president of the United States tweets things that are offensive and inappropriate. Okay, we've known this for how many years? And I think where he went wrong here is the go back to your own country. And, you know, Charlie's right. There's only one in the squad that wasn't born here. However, I do think, and Amy's right, there are things, and this is where I think Lindsey Graham got it right. And I got people, Charlie, that were angry with me because I agreed with Lindsey Graham, where he said, you got to take the high road. The president, I think, misinterpreted that. I think he thought maybe he should talk about senators and not members of Congress. But what he was saying is you can just expose the squad for what they stand for, what they've said in the past, what their policies are, and that's probably going to be good enough. I don't know that this is a brilliant strategy, but I also don't think that the president united Democrats any more than they were already united. I do think there's completely unfair media coverage of this, because if you look at Ilhan Omar and what she did say about al-Qaeda, it was mischaracterized by the president, but I think it's pretty outrageous. She basically gave al-Qaeda and put al-Qaeda on the same plane as our army and our country and England. And I think that that's something I haven't. I looked at the Washington Post this morning and I didn't see one reference to that. I looked at several television stories about this. I didn't see one reference to that or any of the sound bites from that. There are things that Rashid Tlaib has said, or Congresswoman Tlaib has said in the past, too, that I think have been somewhat questionable. And you're not seeing the audio of that. It's all about Trump. So, look, yeah, the president said something that's got people all riled up again. But there are other things that I think are at play here that should be given a little attention.
I totally agree. And that's what the president could do, and he is the president, so we do put him on a higher plane than the others. But nonetheless, let's take a look at the new Green Deal that says we're going to retrofit 120 million buildings in the United States, and we're going to change our energy supply by 80%, and God knows we're going to eliminate airline travel. You know, that's really what you have to attack, not the national origin of the person who's making the comment.
Should man return to the moon, or should we set our sights on something higher? We will take a look at that when we come back next. This is the anniversary of Apollo 11. We'll be back on Overtime. It's 8:40.
Get ready for the Cards and Pirates tonight. Ameren Total Access 620. First pitch with Shannon and Rooney 7:15. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. I'm no.
KMOX News Time is 8:43. It's Overtime, and 50 years ago today, U.S. astronauts set out on their mission to the moon. Apollo 11 would successfully land on the moon days later. Should man return to the moon, or should we set our sights on something higher, such as Mars? Amy Mark scores.
Well, as Elton John said, Mars ain't the place to raise your kid. In fact, it's cold as H-E double hockey sticks, and there's no one to raise them if you did.
Was he talking about Mars, Pennsylvania?
Maybe. I love space exploration. So, yes, I think we should set our sights on the moon, keep visiting the moon, and then go to Mars. Use the moon as a jumping off point for Mars. Let's go to Mars. I don't want to live there.
Mark, what are your thoughts on the subject?
I always kind of defer to people who are a lot smarter than me on issues like this from this standpoint. I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool to go to Mars, but I looked this up and Bill Anders, who was the lunar module pilot of Apollo 8, which was the first space flight to leave the orbit of Earth, says that sending a man to or a woman to Mars is sort of ridiculous. And his point was, you know, look, what is, and he's a big supporter, by the way, of the unmanned programs because they're, you know, not as costly, but he says, what's the imperative? What's pushing us to go to Mars? I don't think the public is that interested. Now, Elon Musk wants to put someone on Mars, and I think that's fine. I think you have to be given good reasons. I'm a fan of space exploration as well, but if we're going to the moon, if we're going to Mars, we better be given good reasons, especially with manned flights to go there.
Why don't we send Congress to Mars?
I think we'd all support
but
that.
I mean, it's American. It's the last frontier, right? We have the cowboys. I mean, this is the space cowboy.
We can't even fix Jamestown Mall, as my friend Tom Sullivan points out in today's email. It took us 8 years from Kennedy to Neil Armstrong, and it's been 11 years we've been working on the Jamestown Mall.
Hmm.
And in the same city that gave us the Mercury and the Gemini.
Let me dream, Charlie, just to have that last frontier.
As a penal colony, maybe. How it could be the new Australia. Send our prisoners there.
Send our trash there. We're running out of space for trash.
Well, you know, there are all kinds of possibilities. It's space. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
The final frontier.
This got my attention. So a new study, this is from the British Medical Journal, finds that even a small amount of sugary drink consumption ups your cancer risk. They say just a third of a can of soda a day, a third of a can, increases your risk of cancer by 18%. Now, Mark, you are a well-known aficionado of Diet Coke, but would Diet Coke qualify here? We're talking about sugary drinks. Is Diet Coke, would that change your consumption habits?
Well, no, I mean, it's because it's not sugary. The thing about this, and I think I heard the report this morning by health editor, executive producer of the Mark Rubin Show extraordinaire, Fred Bottomer,
yes.
that the experts were saying that part of this wasn't because of the sugary soda. It's because you are decreasing or perhaps you're not having as much lean protein and fruits and vegetables and things that you need. I don't want to say I don't believe studies like this, but I don't believe studies like this a lot of times because I think there are other factors. And the one that I've been offering up consistently here recently is we've been told for years how we have to protect ourselves because of skin cancer from the sun, which I'm not recommending that we don't do. But now there's new research that shows we've been depriving ourselves of too much vitamin D, and that's causing cancer and other problems. So you're not going to find a perfect mix. Remember, for years, a glass of wine is going to kill you. Then a glass of wine a day is going to save you. It goes back and forth with these researchers. And the one thing that we can all take pleasure in, I guess, is that our tax dollars are paying for. I know this was a British medical journal, but most of the times our tax dollars are paying for these things.
Well, speaking of tax dollars paying for things, you know, you can use food stamps, a supplemental nutrition assistance program, to buy things like that Coca-Cola. And we recently had an obesity researcher, Denise Wilfley of the WashU Medical School, on and say, hey, that is not nutrition. Why are, especially if that cola is leading to cancer and diabetes and God knows what else, why are we subsidizing it when you think about it?
You ever park at a meter too long in the city, they'll get you. In Clayton, they're even quicker. And Wesley Bell has found that out. And we will get into that when we come back at 8:48 on KMOX.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves
50 years ago today, U.S. astronauts set out on their mission to the moon, Apollo 11.
Yeah, I'm trying to please to the calling.
This is Overtime on KMOX with Charlie Brennan, Mark Reardon, Amy Mark Scores. I'm Tom Ackerman. How about Wesley Bell? He found out, according to Channel 5, that the ticket issuers at the city of Clayton don't mess around. He has accumulated 10 unpaid parking tickets as the county prosecutor while using a government-issued vehicle. Since he's been on the job, that's 7 months, he has accumulated 10 unpaid parking tickets, all issued by the city of Clayton between April 4th and June 18th, actually. 10 unpaid tickets total $735. Now, a spokesperson for Bell, Mark, says that they should be able to park right outside their offices inside the Buzz Westfall Justice Center, even though Bell and his staff already have assigned parking right across the street on Bonham. Should he have the right to park wherever he wants, Mark?
Well, I'm tempted to take Wesley Bell's side here only because I hate the parking in Clayton and how difficult it is sometimes to park and how quickly they give you tickets. On the other hand, this is a case of bad optics. Look, the thing that concerns me about Wesley Bell and his office is how they're prosecuting very, very serious crimes in the area. And I still have some, you know, skepticism about the veracity of that particular part of his job, which is exactly what he's supposed to do. So look, this is bad optics. I don't think it's a good thing, especially if you have a parking spot, just keep flaunting the system, because no one else would be allowed to do that. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, you used the word optics. That is exactly the word I was going to use, because the optics are that of entitlement. You know, his job is more important than everyone else's job who happens to park there. His time is more valuable than everyone else's time, so they can park further away. They can do the walking. He needs to get to his car. And from my understanding, he's a public servant. so it doesn't really seem to align with his job description.
You know, Clayton does have a very, even for me, easily downloadable parking app that makes paying for parking a cinch. Even I, a Luddite, can understand it. So there's that. There's no excuse. The law is the law, and he's the prosecutor. And whatever law you and the rest of us have to obey, he's got to obey. And it looks bad, and it just makes people less proud and secure about their government.
Yeah, 10 seems like a lot. That's ignoring the issue. What do you have coming up on your program with Amy, Charlie?
Hey, we'll continue the president taking a look at four members of Congress called the Squad Day 2. Wow, what a story this has been. We'll talk about Wesley Bell. We'll tell you how you can join us for a movie starring Keira Knightley. And we're going to give away some Diana Ross tickets. That and more.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.